Do it.
Welcome back to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung. Joining me in the studio today at St. Pete Athletic, we got Helen French, who is, of course, the artist formerly known as Helen Hansen, also known as Helen Hansen French. She is, of course, the executive director of the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance. She's also a dancer and a choreographer. Joining Helen is Lauren Sloan, who is her partner in crime putting together Beacon Dance, which is returning this weekend to the Palladium Theater in St. Petersburg. And that's why we're all talking today, Helen and Lauren. But hey, guess what? There's a third guest, Paul Wilbarn from the Palladium Theater. And I asked Paul to be here because the Palladium and Beacon, I think I said they go together like milk and cookies or like horse and carriage or whatever you like. Beacon has always been at the Palladium. So your involvement has been an integral part of what's made this thing so special. Beacon happens exactly once a year, and it's happening again this Friday at the Palladium Theater. Helen, let me start with you. You and Lauren kind of concocted this annual concert 11 years ago. You had just come back from New York, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
What was the thinking? What did you guys want to do?
So we happened to actually concoct this in a parking lot, as we were remembering.
All the great ideas happen in parking lots.
Yeah. But we were adjudicating something at USF for students, and we got to talking about basically, like, what happens next? Like, we had careers in other places, but what about these students and up-and-coming professionals? And we were looking around St. Pete, and we were like, there's not really a platform or a place for people to show their work. And Lauren and I felt really strongly 11 years ago, and we still do, I think, now, that it's important to create that kind of platform. So we, out of that literally midnight parking lot conversation, became a plan to go tell Paul he should trust us and invite us to the Palladium.
Famous last words.
Please, Paul, trust us. That's how it came about. We saw a need in the community. And also, we're both working artists, and we were creating work. And we wanted to show what we were doing, too. And we had enough arts admin skills and savvy to think, okay, maybe we should do this and then get others to join us. And thank goodness others joined us.
Well, let's talk about, you both have a fairly illustrious history in choreography and dance. You, of course, had been, what were you, remind us what you were doing in New York. I know you're a St. Pete native, and then you went off and got famous. And that's the way I remember it.
I appreciate that memory. That's fantastic. I had a career in New York City, mostly performing with, mainly with Buglisi Dance Theater, which was based in Manhattan. I also did pickup gigs here and there and made my own work. And that's really, like, coming back home, I wanted to be able to share that. And I, at one point, even Paul trusted me so much, even before we invented Beacon, that he brought Buglisi Dance Theater down here. I think it was 2009, maybe, something like that. And, you know, so that was sort of the beginnings of, like, how can I bring what I love back where I am and where I came from? How do we make that happen?
You had decided that being with Bugliosi
and Buglisi.
Okay, see, I get mixed up with the Helter Skelter guy. So, that you wanted to come back to your hometown and have a life, as it were, rather than pursue that to the ends of the earth. And
I knew I spent all my 20s. I spent from the time I was 17 until 30, just about in Manhattan. And I knew that I didn't want to live there forever. I just knew there's something about it. I was ready to come home to have a different change of pace. And home, being St. Pete, was starting to offer, like, the art scene. The visual arts was really starting to come to have a voice of its own, and I'm from here. So I was like, okay, well, what can I do? That was what started it, really.
Well, Lauren, what's your background? Let's just start there.
Sure. So I also grew up training here. Helen was one of my idols. She didn't know it. We would be in the same summer dance program at Academy of Ballet Arts. We were both at PCCA in the dance program. And I was looking to her as this, like, extraordinary dancer at the time.
People still do that.
I still do that because she is. She always will be. But similar to Helen, upon graduation, I left. I went to New York and Philadelphia, Seattle. I've lived in a lot of different places to pursue my career. But it's funny. Helen and I are not exactly doing an inverse. We both care profoundly about our own artistic practice and making sure other artists can make. My career has been spent more like 90% on making sure other artists can make. So I've been directing national grant-making programs. Mm-hmm. I have been consulting with organizations to really rethink how we get resources to artists and build infrastructure for them to be able to make. So, you know, most of my career trajectory has been spent more focused on that while I'm still, you know, taking class and in my body and dancing. But at this point, very recently, I similarly wanted to come home. My family is here. My parents are here. I haven't connected with them across the last 30 years in the same way that I wanted to. And this is a moment where I've wanted to kind of recalibrate as well and bring just a little bit more of my life as an artist forward while I continue to support other artists. So the opportunity to come home, to work with Helen at this point also, to continue to build that up here in terms of support for other artists, like, it's a magical situation.
It just sounds like you had, like, complementary ideals and goals for what you were doing. The area needed this. Let's introduce Mr. Wilburn into the equation here. When you guys said, okay, let's do this, where do we do it? Was that, what about this guy? I hear he's pretty cool.
I'm honestly, like, Lauren and I sat down and we mapped out what we thought would be the first 5 years of Beacon. And we thought, well, we need to start with proof of concept and, you know, how do we pilot this and spreadsheets and budgets and ideas and who's going to dance and then where do we put it? And the Palladium seemed like the obvious choice to us at the time. And we just literally, I think I just called Paul, maybe sent an email, rang the doorbell at the site and was like, we have an idea. Will you answer the door and listen to us? And he did.
Paul, well, can you address that?
Yeah, I really love dance. It's always loved it as an art form. Followed it. I've seen it in lots of places. But at the Palladium, we sort of tried to present dance, and I would bring in touring companies. Buglisi actually did okay for us, but some of them, it was the cost versus the audience you could draw. It just, and the number of hotels and all the things. And I realized, you know, the secret of the Palladium has been local. Yeah. And really, I try to find the most talented people in our community and give them some money and give them a stage and turn them loose. And I was having that debate when Helen and Lauren kind of came forward, but it seems like the ideas sort of come when you look for them. Same thing happened with Jeff Multer and chamber music.
Sure.
In that I love chamber music. I can't book it. I love dance. I can't create it or book it. So it was a perfect opportunity to find two really talented folks who I trusted already, especially her. Lauren and I have come to develop trust, but I didn't really know her at the time.
Do you trust her now?
But Helen vouched for it, and that was enough. And you know, I guess you guys would probably agree, I've never asked them really what you're doing. Yeah. It's pretty much, here's a date. And I go try to look at rehearsals. I sort of show up and just have a great time seeing what is created. And it's very, very local, which is what the Palladium's sort of all about.
Oh, you know, one of the very first episodes of this podcast was Helen and Alexander Jones together talking about dance in this community. Let me ask you, going back 11 years, was there too much talent around here, or did you have to I don't want to say scrape the barrel. That's not what I mean. But you have to really, who do we get to work on this? Is it going to be all us?
I think that first year, certainly there was a lot to pull from. It became a conversation of who's available, who do we know, who can we trust, what if this doesn't work, who's on board with us? Like, one of the things Lauren and I felt really strongly was understanding if we're going to create something, artists need to get paid. I'll say that all day long. And so if we're going to create something and we're going to work with a theater, let's talk about what that really looks like and how and like what is it we're doing, right? So then who was available? We had a lot of contacts with just USF professors, Michael Foley, Andy Scott, professionals in Sarasota. And we started crafted this first the first year really was we started close. People we knew that were willing to take a risk with us, but also brought a level of professionalism, a different perspective to dance, had insights that we could learn from too. A lot of it, that first year, we invited people and, what were their needs to show our work, right? Like, what specifically did they feel was important to them and how could we address that came up. And then I will say that particular year, the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance was doing individual artist grants. And so mine was funded. I was able to fund my creation through that.
Yeah.
Which I think now we're seeing a lot more of that in the community where work is getting funded. And then Beacon lovingly gets like the benefits of that because we have another way to show work that is getting funding from different streams.
Was it successful right out of the gate? Did people flock to the Palladium?
So I will say this. I think Lauren and I, 3 nights before opening night, we had this crazy idea that we really wanted people to understand what it took to present dance. And so we're running around printing black and white photos of backstage moments from the show to hide in people's programs and put under the seat because we wanted it to be different than just showing up at the theater. I think at that point we'd sold like 100 tickets and we were like, it's just our parents in the audience. It's just our parents. And then that year we had 432, year one. Mm. But they all came. Dance audiences are notorious for coming at the last minute. They will cut, like, it's just, so we were sweating. Like, I remember going, oh no, this is Lauren and I'm up at midnight. We're trying to literally print things on our printer and cut them out, the photos, and stick them in things and crying, is it going to work?
Well, don't you think that, I mean, it is true, and I'm sure it was true then, and it's still true now that there are lots of people who appreciate contemporary dance, but the only thing they can do is go to see it when it's there.
Right.
You know, there's not a lot of sort of TV programs or, you know, the live experience is something else again. So did you have a sense in those days that you were filling a void?
Yes, I do think
we were. For certain people.
Yeah, I do. I mean, Lauren, wouldn't you agree? I think we were filling a void. And also,
they came out of the woodwork.
They really did. And the power of the moving body is, it's so powerful. When you watch another human move through space and communicate something, whether it's joy or grief or excitement or confusion, like, we get it, even if we don't know we're getting it. And I think that's what contemporary dance or dance in general can do for you.
I think, too, you know, so there's two things happening simultaneously. One is, Helen and I are very willing to put in the effort to experiment on something that maybe wouldn't work, but we're going to do it anyway because we think, you know, the value is in the learning of that. At the same time, so, you know, we maybe never thought there would be a year two. To be at year 11 is like kind of a miracle, honestly, in our minds. We also have very long game character traits. And by that I mean, we are looking to build things that will far outlast us and our generation. And I think we thought that, you know, if we go to the effort and the Palladium is willing to meet us in that effort, other things will start to build. More artists will realize at 18 they can stay here and build a career. There will eventually become more platforms, not just one time, one night. And what we're seeing now at year 11, and we should in no way take credit for it fully, yeah, by any means, even partially perhaps. But what we are seeing at year 11 is many more younger generation artists living here, working here, building a life and a practice here. There's more platforms. Project Alchemy has built platforms for choreographers to make. So we are seeing the expansion of the dance community feeling like there is an undergirding for them to do it here.
That
and
is
that
brilliant.
Is the aim.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the aim.
I'm going to ask you something that I asked Helen before, which is, and I know the answer, but I'm going to ask Lauren anyway. Why do you only do it once a year? You know, why isn't there, like, it's the spring Beacon, it's the fall Beacon.
Well, I'm going to give you...
Is that Paul's fault?
We're going to blame it on Paul.
Yeah, it's Paul's fault. No, I'd say there's a number of contributing factors here. One is, this is like 1% of the things that Helen and I do in a given year. And we put our entire heart and soul into that 1%. But it is one piece of the puzzle of all of the things that Helen and I are working on. So we would actually need more support to actually better support multiple performances in a year. It's also a question of when artists are making, when they have material ready, if the Palladium has, you know, a spot, and then there is a fundraising infrastructure around all of it. Right now, we can successfully commit to fundraising and paying this. We have, what, almost 40 contractors that we're paying Friday night, yeah, which is amazing. To double that in a year would take a different strategy and, yeah, you know, more than 1% of our time in a given year, which we would be willing to do and take up. But it's a community effort to think through what that is to do it really well.
What does it do? Does it sell out every year? Does it come really close? I'm looking at you, Paul. I mean, could you do it twice a year if they could do it?
I think we've achieved a once a year really good thing. And my feeling is, I'd rather do something once a year really well than dilute it too much. And what I found with the Palladium is we end up having these sort of tentpole once a year shows, and everybody puts a lot of effort into them, and it works. What we look for in dance, and still the dance audience is, you know, we do not sell out. We would love to sell this out. I mean, 300, 400. You know, you're thinking, where are all these people who say they love dance? They ought to be there.
It always feels pretty full to me.
It draws a good crowd. But
maybe
I'm
it's
saying,
the same 400 people every time.
I still have 300 seats I could probably sell.
Oh, yeah.
What works for us in this form, too, is that this is it. With fine art and good art, I try to break even. You know, I'm not going to try to get rich off chamber music or dance or things, but we found audiences, and it doesn't cost me. You know, I'm not throwing money out the window. Mm-hmm. So we're doing great stuff.
Sure.
But we found there's an audience for jazz. There's an audience for blues. There's an audience for chamber music. There's an audience for dance. There's an audience for opera. And all those niches were just sitting there, you know, waiting to be get those people. And so that's sort of – we're doing so many different things all year round. This is our dance offering. And I hand it over to these two talented folks and say, please – you do what you do, and they even raise the money. I'm not out raising money for Beacon. Helen and Lauren pretty much do it. So it's a great little contained thing, and I get this wonderful thing that comes to me in a gift wrapped, and I get to go sit in the audience and go, wow, that's great.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Who is there? Talk to me, you guys. Give me some greatest hits of, like, who is working, who's created, who's dancing. What are we going to see?
So there are over 30 artists this year, and there are 10 works. So we have a very, very cool film that Heidi Brewer created as part of a grant that she got through Creative Pinellas, mm-hmm, and it is going to activate some spaces you don't normally see dance activated in, and it's very cool, a very cool film. And then Project Alchemy is back. They have been a mainstay on Beacon, and their company dancers are bringing an excerpt of a work I called Above Below. We have some newcomers, this is one of the exciting things I think about what Beacon can do for the community is there is a new choreographer who's showing work, Justin Brock, and he has some ambition and some, like, he's got some heart in this game, and he is premiering for the first time on Beacon, and he danced on Beacon last year, and then he kind of came to us and said, I have this idea, and we were like, this is what Beacon is for.
That's what it's for. Yeah.
And so we have some new works by Justin Brock, Yoni. I'm not going to say his last name correctly, so we're just going to call him Yoni. He's an amazing artist, and he's doing this whole beautiful work about motherhood and his, our relationship with mothering, and it's gorgeous piece. And he's also new. He was on Beacon last year and someone else's work and then came to us and said, I have something I want to say. We were like, great, let's say it. Atlas Modern Ballet, Sarah Walston Phillips' company, yeah, is back.
Right.
Rev Dance is back. So Dwayne Schuneman with a new duet by Frank Chavez. It premiered earlier this year in New Tampa, but this will be at St. Pete premiere. And it's a beautiful work that I've seen bits and pieces of, but I know it's going to be amazing. Let's see, who else did I forget? Madison Bender. You were going to jump in there.
I was going to say, you're forgetting Helen French is performing on the program.
And mm-hmm. Lauren Sloan is performing on the program.
Oh, that was my next two questions. And then, Thank you very much.
So the two of us will be performing.
Yeah.
Madison Bender is a slightly newcomer. She premiered last year on Beacon and then is working on a work with two dancers and then performing herself in a work by Peter Chu, who I went to college with at Juilliard, and now he's based over on the East Coast and really wants to help get this community activated in a different way as well. So we've got to work by another Juilliard grad. There's a lot of Juilliard grads on this program, too. And there's a lot of USF grads. It's going
to
be great.
Tell us about what you're doing, Helen. Is there a musical component to it, or what do you...
There is. Yeah. So I'm doing a work. There's no live music this year. I think for the first time, in 11 Beacons, it is just me on stage.
Wow.
It's a true solo, if you will. And it is loosely inspired by the life of Hildegard von Bingen, a 12th century mystic who was the 10th child of a noble family, and she was tithed to the Catholic Church at the age of 8 and immured for most of her life. So there's this thing about finding freedom in confinement that's an idea I play with in my solo. And the piece of music that I'm dancing to was actually written by Hildegard von Bingen, and it's performed by a cellist named Maya Beiser. So that is my work, my offering this year.
Lauren, what are you dancing?
I'm also doing a solo. I haven't performed on Beacon in a very long time.
I didn't think so. I remember, Lauren wasn't. I tried to talk to you a couple of years ago, and you weren't around.
Yes.
You were off being rich and famous. That's what it was.
Hardly. But, coming back to the stage is an honor. It's a joy. It's where I'm the happiest. And I wanted to do something that leans into the joyfulness of that. Classical ballet is my background. I have also done a lot of other forms. And at this point, my body enjoys most an improvisational practice. Mm. So I'm going to bring that to it. I also have been listening to this piece of music from 1681. It's harpsichord and classical violin. And I have been curious about it for a very long time and just only recently researched more into it. And at the time, the composer started to mess with a technique that was considered mistuning the instrument and seeing what emotion could come out of playing with that. Wow. And, sort of metaphorically speaking, when we consider the body as instrument, I would say I've always been a dancer that's my teachers maybe have considered mistuned. I'm a little outside of, the standard of technical excellence.
This is perfect for you. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So all of that's coming together.
Very cool.
And Bill, one thing I want to mention is around 2020, we started a creative fellowship program because a lot of our artists were out of work. And were you both got a fellowship, or was it just you the first time out?
I think the first year, the way it worked is we both got it for Beacon.
I think it was
Beacon. We got it to support that work that we were making.
So they've both been fellows, and for our new class, Lauren is a fellow. And we give $2,500 to artists to create new work, and then we'll showcase that work in something like Beacon or in there. We have artists all over, musical artists, performance artists of all kinds.
Yes.
But it's been a great program, and it helps allow these guys to do what they do.
Parenthetically, didn't you miss one? Wasn't COVID year? Did you not do a Beacon?
So, actually, no. So COVID happened, and we went into lockdown 2 weeks before, and Paul looks at me. I remember he goes, I don't know if we're going to do Beacon this year. And it was literally, we were outside at a show, and then 2 weeks later, everyone was like, don't leave your house. And so, but the response to that was we did what they called Palladium Live. And so we came in when we were allowed to be back in the theaters, and we videoed what some of what would have been Beacon the year that we had to stop.
I remember those days.
There was this component. So, and I don't think we kind of billed it as Beacon, but I will say this, that during that time, Paul and Lauren and I were committed to making sure artists had access to resources. So we had already fundraised the money. We'd already planned. Like, Beacon was basically... It was ready to go.
It's coming up about a month later.
So we were able to support those artists and then have an opportunity for Beacon Live and support them again. So it was this kind of financial support and then an outlet when it was safe, or when it was deemed safe for us to be back on stage.
I remember, we all sort of knew each other. Well, the three of us.
Yeah.
Lauren Sloan, thank you so much for being here. Helen French, always a pleasure.
Thank
and
you.
Paul Wilborn, as usual. We'll be talking to you about your new book coming out in a month or so, I understand.
You're a good man.
Charlie Brown.
And Bill DeYoung.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a pleasure to have all three of you in here. And I don't know, do you say break a leg at dance?
You say break a leg or merit?
Merit.
Okay, well, all of this and more for tonight at the Palladium. Anyway, guys, thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. So much.